You can, yeah, it's not that much. Can you do it?
Yeah.
All right, and we can talk about it as it goes. I'm going to be sitting right over there. And as you read, and you read something that you're a little bit unsure about, or we can talk about it, and then we address it so that the listeners can also understand what's going on.
So if you guys have books, this is off of page 69 in The Core of Ego. It's called Truth, Relative, or Absolute. We're putting this in here because we think it's a really important key to understanding present moment and consciousness and how that flows through truth and nothing else. So I'm going to go ahead and read Truth, Relative, or Absolute. Beyond the realm of simple and verifiable facts, the certainty that I am right and you are wrong is a dangerous thing in personal relationships, as well as in interactions between nations, tribes, religions, and so on. But if the belief, I am right, you are wrong, is one of the ways in which the ego strengthens itself, if making yourself right and others wrong is a mental dysfunction that perpetuates separation and conflict between human beings, does that mean there is no such thing as right or wrong behavior, action, or belief? And wouldn't that be the moral relativism that some contemporary Christian teachings see as the great evil of our times? The history of Christianity is, of course, a prime example of how the belief that you are in sole possession of the truth, that is to say, right, can corrupt your actions and behavior to the point of insanity. For centuries, torturing and burning people alive if their opinion diverged, even in the slightest from church doctrine or narrow interpretations of scripture, in parentheses, the truth, was considered right because the victims were wrong. They were so wrong that they needed to be killed. The truth was considered more important than human life, and what was the truth? A story you had to believe in, which means a bundle of thoughts. The 1 million people that mad dictator Pol Pot of Cambodia ordered killed included everybody who wore glasses. Why? To him, the Marxist interpretation of history was the absolute truth, and according to his version of it, those who wore glasses belonged to the educated class, the bourgeois, the exploiters of the peasants. They needed to be eliminated to make room for a new social order. His truth also was a bundle of thoughts. The Catholic and other churches are actually correct when they identify relativism, the belief that there is no absolute truth to guide human behavior, as one of the evils of our times. But you won't find absolute truth if you look for it where it cannot be found, in doctrines, ideologies, sets of rules, or stories. What do all these have in common? They are made up of thought. Thought can at best point to the truth, but it never is the truth. That's why Buddhists say the finger pointing to the moon is not the moon. All religions are equally false and equally true, depending on how you use them. You can use them in the service of ego, or you can use them in the service of truth. If you believe only your religion is the truth, you are using it in the service of ego. Used in such a way, religion becomes ideology and creates an illusionary sense of superiority, as well as division and conflict between people. In the service of the truth, religious teachings represent signposts or maps left behind by awakened humans to assist you in spiritual awakening, that is to say, in becoming free of identification with form. There is only one absolute truth, and all other truths emanate from it. When you find that truth, your actions will be in alignment with it. Human action can reflect the truth, or it can reflect illusion. Can the truth be put into words? Yes, but the words are, of course, not it. They only point to it. The truth is inseparable from who you are. Yes, who you are the truth. If you look for it anywhere else, you will be deceived every time. The very being that you are is truth. Jesus tried to convey that when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. These words uttered by Jesus are one of the most powerful and direct pointers to the truth, if understood correctly. If misinterpreted, however, they become a great obstacle. Jesus speaks of the innermost I am, the essence identity of every man and woman, every life form, in fact. He speaks of the life that you are. Some Christian mystics have called it the Christ within. Buddhists call it your Buddha nature. For Hindus, it's Atman, indwelling God. When you are in touch with that dimension within yourself, and being in touch with it is your natural state, not some miraculous achievement, All of your actions and relationships will reflect the oneness with all life that you sense deep within. This is love. Laws, commandments, rules, and regulations are necessary for those who are cut off from who they are, the truth within. They prevent the worst excesses of the ego, and often don't even do that. Love and do what you will, said St. Augustine. And words cannot get much closer to the truth than that.
You understand that last part?
Love and do what you will?
The part which he talks about the loss and what those do, what they actually don't do.
Yes.
They're just there kind of thing.
Laws, commandments, rules, and regulations are necessary for those who are cut off from who they are, the truth within. Because if everyone was one with themselves and one with everybody else, we would live in harmony.
Live in wouldn't have, yes, correct.
We wouldn't need laws and rules and regulations to keep people from doing things that they would are doing subconsciously.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then... when he says the indwelling God and how different religions back and forth express that in different ways. He's not, this is something that is important for me to clarify. This is something that I was worried about when I started reading this book and taking his information. He's not religious in any way. He points to religion as what he calls signposts, right? So he doesn't, he's not preferring it. He's preferring his, it's not an ideology, but the, he's projecting the energy of the universe. Like, that's what he's talking about. Like,
what I see is when he references the Bible or Christianity or any others, it seems like he's trying to show that most of these religions all started with the same point. Mm-hmm. They teach the same type of thing, but they've been misinterpreted throughout the years. And he is trying to open people's eyes to see, like, when he says, Jesus said, I am the truth. Mm-hmm. I never understood it in the way that, but the way that he really meant it, which is what Eckhart Tolle points out. He's talking about the I, not Jesus. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really cool way that he references the Bible, because he's showing people that the statements in there do make some sort of sense, not just the sense that they've interpreted
all
it as.
Of them, as he says also, all of those statements make sense if they use them correctly.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah. We can just cut this part.
8:21.
So yeah, so what's important then after this segment, or this to know after this subgenre, is that what is the absolute truth? We already know, because it's common for everybody. Mm-hmm. It's the same truth for all of us. Mm-hmm. And your relative truth is what you make truthful, like the things in your life that you make matter kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's your truth, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's just a good thing to point out. Yeah, that's it.
Continue on.